Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feeds it right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kinville, and before we get going, as always, we want to let you know that you can find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Hockey_Royalty, and we're on Facebook and on YouTube at Hockey Royalty. So, we've almost got the whole band back together, but Ryan cannot be here tonight. But that doesn't matter, because we got a really fun show lined up, and it's just going to be me and the guy I'm about to bring in. He is the Prince of PDO. He's the Count of Corsi. He is the Emperor of all things analytics. It's Mr. Russell Morgan. What's happening, brother?
What's up, Scott? Hey, yeah, it's fun to talk about hockey when the Kings are on a 3-game winning streak. Can't complain about that.
I know, right? I'm kind of glad we decided to wait to do this podcast. Yeah. Give him time to get off the schneid, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The last couple of games have been fun to watch. I mean, I guess we'll go into the last game against the Blues, but I mean, yeah, good bounce back from the Kings after the slow start.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you could even rewind that a little bit further back to the Montreal game on Saturday. They you know what? That was a team that was Vegas, or that played Vegas in the opening game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they looked fast, they looked dynamic, and they looked great. The Buffalo game, hey, you know what? We got the W. I think Buffalo kind of shot themselves in the foot a few times, but you know what? You take advantage of that, and that's how you win games. So, tell me, what did you see in the St. Louis game?
Oh, man, first 40 minutes, I had to wake myself up, get some more coffee. This is kind of slow, I will say. I mean, special teams was a little bit of a problem, still continues to be, I guess, somewhat of an issue. And then given when you have all those power play chances and then you see the Blues score power play in the blink of an eye, that was a little bit disheartening. But, I mean, after those first 40 minutes, you get into the third period, man, Arthur Kaliev just kind of woke that whole building up. I mean, and that's just what he can do. He's equivalent to like a home run hitter in baseball. I mean, anytime I've said it before, anytime he's in the offensive zone, has the puck on his stick, he can score, and that's anywhere really. I mean, he's just got that good of a shot, and I've said it could rival someone like an Austin Matthews or an Alexander Ovechkin. I mean, I was looking at a goal that Ovechkin scored today. There's pretty much exactly the same kind of goal that Kaliev had last night. So it's just really good to see him scoring. I mean, we know the type of scorer and player he can be in the NHL, so we're starting to get a glimpse of that. And then he just kind of rolled right into the Kempe goal and that Deneau line. That was pretty much an epitome of what they have been so far this year. They're legitimately one of the best lines in hockey right now. And we're getting to the point where we might have to have a nickname for them or something. I don't know. I'm not a good nickname guy, so maybe someone else can come up with that. But and then, unfortunately, you get to the final minutes. And it was crazy because as soon as Kopitar shot that puck and it missed, I've been following some of the other games that were going on, and I know that happened in Columbus. That same exact thing.
Right.
A player had missed a wide open net or an open net from the middle of the ice just by inches. And sure enough, the team comes back and scores. I forget who they're playing. I think it was Carolina, or I'm not sure. But anyway, and then that's exactly what happens to the Kings. You get Kopitar missing that open net, and then the Blues come right back. And I was like, as soon as they're going up ice, I'm like, something bad's going to happen here.
Yeah, you can just see it coming.
Exactly. And you just know from the games from last year against Minnesota. And it's like, okay, here we go again. And sure enough, they score. It was really just kind of a fluke play. I mean, even McClellan mentioned it. It was kind of just an unlucky bounce off Quick and then off Kopitar and then right to their stick. So all in all, it was just really disheartening. But you get the power play going in overtime. And I guess that kind of slows down the momentum that St. Louis had going into the extra frame. So the Kings obviously didn't do much on the power play. But then as overtime went on, they just had chance after chance after chance. And then finally with the almost the climax of the Deneau chance against Binnington, who just made an incredible save going across. And that was just like, oh man, now we got a shootout. We know how the Kings have done in the shootout and we'll go into there. But I mean, Iafallo comes through. And then Kaliev comes through. Quick makes some pretty good saves, and I guess they missed right at the end. But all in all, just coming in with 2 points out of a game that was really just a roller coaster in the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I guess. It's just good to see. And then for the 3 games in a row, good start, or good, I guess. Now we're coming back up from the slow start that where the Kings were at from the start of the season.
Right. You know, I mean, and there it is too, because really, going into the third period, St. Louis should have been up much more than 1-0. I mean, that was they didn't finish the Kings off when they could. And granted, I will admit the Kings got a couple breaks power-wise yesterday. Oh, yeah. But you know what? That balances itself out throughout the year. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. Right. But here's my thing too, is as far as Arthur Kaliev goes, this is the reason why you bring this kid up. And this is the reason why you don't put him on the fourth line. You put this kid in a spot where he can shoot the puck and get him somebody who's going to get him the puck. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I mean, he was getting snake bit a little bit in the beginning of the season too. You could just kind of see it. Maybe he was, I don't want to say trying too hard, but you can see where he was kind of whiffing on some shots and he just wanted to get that breakthrough goal so bad. Mm-hmm. And it's like I was telling you guys last night, once he starts getting a goal or two to go in, I have a feeling they are going to come in bucket loads because you can just see it coming with him. And that shot is, if you ask me, it's already elite level.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, there's just no getting around that. So, all right, so he's not the greatest defensive player in the world. I don't care. He's not the greatest skater in the world. You know what? Neither was Brett Hull. I mean, that's you can't nitpick on Arthur Kaliev for every little part of his game when he's got that kind of a shot. There's just no way. And I will add in, too, you were talking about the goal that the Blues tied it up. Is it bad that I didn't even get mad? I was just expecting it.
That's kind of where I was at. As soon as they were coming up ice, I'm like, oh, well, here we go. Tie game, going in overtime. We're home late. So, but I mean, like you had said, though, I mean, I guess it would be remiss if we didn't mention the play of Jonathan Quick. I mean, that was really the only reason that the Kings were still in the game. I mean, he was pretty much standing on his head. I mentioned it this morning, 1.73 goals saved against expected. I mean, that's the best performance by Kings goaltender so far this year. And we were going into the season thinking, oh, it's Cal Peterson's net. He's the number one goaltender. But right now, I mean, Jonathan Quick has been the better goaltender to start the year for the Kings, and which is a good thing to see if you're a Kings fan. I mean, you can't complain about getting back old school veteran Jonathan Quick, 2010 years. So, I mean, it's just a good thing to see from a Kings fan perspective. And I'm sure Tom McClellan's got some tough decisions to make in the next coming games.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, though, I mean, it gives Cal Peterson a little time to get his game back together. And this is a long run, right? So if you get Quickie playing some more games now, it's going to rest Cal for later on in the season. So it's really not a bad thing. I just hope that shellacking he took in St. Louis didn't get into his head too much. I don't think it will, because he's that kind of a just a calm, put it behind you type of goaltender. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Quickie's been lights out. I mean, there's just no, you know, no getting around that. And of course, you take that when you can get it. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and I think with Cal, maybe he's coming into the year with a little bit more pressure on his shoulders. I mean, he signed the big contract right before the season starts. We're all talking about how he's the presumably number one goaltender to start the year. And so that does add a little bit more pressure to you. And sure, for a player that hasn't really played, I don't think he's played more than 60 games. He hasn't even played 60 games in the NHL yet. So who knows? Maybe he can be that future. He's going to be that number one starter for the Kings. And there's no doubt about it. He's got the skill to do that. But right now, with the way Jonathan Quick's going, maybe you can now ease Cal Peterson into the net and you see more of that 50-50 split to start the year, which, like I said, isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not at all. Not at all. And there's a, you know, there's one more player I want to talk about too. And that's Cal Clegg. So the much maligned Cal Clegg, right? He got skipped over by Seattle.
Yeah, maligned by the NHL for some reason.
Down and nobody wanted him. And but you know what? This kid is doing what he's supposed to do. He's the power play quarterback. Because, I mean, you know me. I've been banging the drum for Cal Clegg for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Never said he was going to be a lights-out Norris Trophy defenseman. Mm-hmm. But with Doughty gone, you need somebody that can actually run that power play. And he looks really good doing it.
Yeah, he looks comfortable out there. And 3 points in three games so far. I mean, the first two were on the power play, kind of easy setups. But, I mean, that pass up to Kaliev to set up Kaliev's goal, I thought it was sweet. I mean, nice, crisp outlet pass to a streaking player up going up ice right on his stick. He didn't have to slow down and get it. I mean, and that's been almost a problem for a lot of the Kings defensemen getting that first outlet pass. And to see to have a player like Clegg who can make that pass and set up a player like Kaliev to score and go into the offensive zone, that's just an added impact that the Kings desperately need, especially with Drew Doughty and Sean Walker not in the game. But it's just weird because, I mean, we've all talked about, like, we thought we were all expecting Cale Clegg to be picked by Seattle. Mm-hmm. He starts, he goes on waivers. Even Elliot Friedman mentions that how he was surprised that Clegg clears waivers.
Right.
And now you see the impact that he's making. And it's only been three games, small sample size. Sure. He looked a lot, I would say he looked a lot better against Montreal and Buffalo. Against St. Louis, I mean, they're a bigger team and they're more of a tighter checking team. That's what they are. I mean, you got some really great bigger players on that team. Right. And so he was kind of, I guess, I don't want to say out of his comfort zone a little bit more, but he did look a little bit less of an impact that he was in the first two games, but he still made some good plays. And you notice him that on the overtime too. McClellan trotted him out there on multiple occasions at overtime. And now he's been pretty much the number one power play quarterback on the first power play unit. So yeah, Cale Clegg, I mean, we all kind of expected this to be the type of player he was. And so far he's shown it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Being able to break out of the zone, there's much more to be said for that than what's really being said, because that's been a problem for the Kings for years now.
Yeah, I mean, when they play the one, yeah, when they play the 1-3-1 that they play, I mean, that's really the number one strategy you have. You try to break down teams in neutral zone, force dump-ins, and then you need that clean breakout pass, and that's what Cale Clegg can do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so that's, you know, good on him, and I hope he keeps it going, because obviously they're going to need him. I mean, Doughty's got, what, another, say, 6 to 7 weeks left before we can realistically expect him back. So it's good that the boys got the turnaround, and it's, you know, it's fun to be watching Kings hockey again. That's for sure.
Yeah, they're winning, too. That's
fun. Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, you wanted a nickname for the Deneau line. Now, I'm a 90s, 80s kind of guy. How about Bell Biv Deneau?
Oh, okay.
Huh? Okay. What do you think?
Okay. we'll put that in the thinking jar or whatever it's called. We'll come back to that one later.
All right. So you know, there's been somebody that's been kind of left out of the I should say the victory party or whatever as of late. And that's Gabe Vilardi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a real shame because Gabe Vilardi has just loads of skill. He really does, but for whatever reason, he just can't seem to find his footing with the Kings. You know, obviously everybody, we've talked about it, we're blue in the face about him being the second line center last year.
Yeah.
Now he's in the COVID protocol, but when he comes back, what do you think the Kings should do with him?
Oh, it's tough. I mean, even with him in COVID protocol now, you kind of expect them to, I mean, with the Kings, the way they're playing, I mean, I just didn't really see him coming. If he was healthy or out of the protocol, you just don't really see a spot for him on the lineup right now.
Sure.
It's just hard because the talent is there. We've all seen it. he just goes to these spurts. And when he first made that impact since the NHL, scoring 7 points in 10 games, I mean, it was just good to see. And then last year, up and down season. Obviously, COVID took a hit. It seemed a little bit more of a mental strength kind of question mark with him. But now this year, I mean, it's just unfortunate because preseason, him, Anderson, and Kachev were just so much fun to watch. And they made so much of an impact on games in the preseason. And all of a sudden, Anderson gets hurt. And now Vilardi just kind of disappears. It's like, man, what he loses his bash brother and now he's gone.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. I don't know what the Kings are supposed to do with him right now at this point. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, can he still play center in the NHL? I mean, we all know about Blake Lizotte's finishing, I guess, issues somewhat. But, I mean, the way that he's playing, he's drawn the most amount of penalties on the Kings with 5. And it's tied for, I think, 3rd in the NHL right now. So the way he's playing, and then you have Kupari, the way he's playing as well, that's the center positions are locked up. So if Gabe does come back and does find a spot in the lineup, you have to look at the wing. And where do you play him now, especially with AA possibly coming back? It's just a big question mark for him, unfortunately.
And, you know, going forward, Quinton Byfield's expected to be back by Christmas. So that just throws another, you know, wrench into the plans. You know, I hate to see the Kings give up on him. I really do. But I think, you know, when we talked about this in the preseason, it's basically a game of musical chairs as far as the forward group goes. There's too many of them, and there's just not enough spots. Unfortunately, you know, things keep going the way they are. I kind of tend to think he's going to be the odd man out because Gabe Vilardi is not one of those guys you can put on the fourth line. You know, he's not a fourth line player.
No. Right?
He's got to be in the top six for him to really flourish because that's what he is. He's an offensive centerman. But with the way it's going with the Kings right now, there's where are you going to put him, like you said? And not only that, you know, by New Year's, you're going to have to start thinking about bringing Alex Turcotte up. You got to see what he can do at the NHL level, right? It's been over 2 years now. It's time. I mean, he's looked decent and really good in the AHL. And I think, you know, eventually it's going to get to the point where he's proven all he can prove there. And you got to make a spot for him as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Turcotte because that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, if you ask Kings fans right now, who would you want to see in the lineup if everyone was healthy? Would you rather see Gabe Vilardi or Alex Turcotte? And I'm sure a lot of Kings fans right now would say Alex Turcotte.
Sure.
And that's just because, I mean, you're looking at the players that have come out in his draft year. You've seen 2020 draft eligible players coming out now in the NHL. 2021 players with William Eklund's playing games, Cole Sillinger's playing games. I mean, and Alex Turcotte's still kind of in the AHL, but flourishing in the AHL. We all know how the Rain are doing. They're 7-0-1, so it's not like he's down there just kind of collecting minutes. He's playing really good minutes for an undefeatable, a really good first-place team. So, I mean, yeah, that's I just expect Alex Turcotte to eventually make an impact. But, I mean, with the way the team is playing right now, you just don't really find or see a roster spot. I know. I think they had mentioned that Zach Dooley mentioned that Elias Anderson went out or had an injury and wasn't able to practice today. So it looks like AA will – or Athanasiou will just make a – kind of replace Anderson in the lineup right now.
Slot in.
Yeah, it'll just kind of slot in. But then, I mean, what you have Arvidsson that comes back. Then what happens? Right. Then once Anderson comes back, then what happens? Is it Lemieux that comes out? Is it Grundstrom, who I think's actually been playing pretty good? Is. So there's still a lot of question marks still. I feel like we're still in preseason.
Right, you're right. And you know, you really don't want to take a guy like Lemieux or Grundstrom out because they're providing an element of physicality, which suddenly, believe it or not, I can't believe this as a Kings fan, I'm saying this, but they're lacking physicality, which they haven't lacked in years.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
You know, I mean, it's something's going to have to give eventually. But I just got to thinking, you know, just to come back to that, I have followed Dano Kempe line real quick. Now, could you imagine how good Alex Turcotte would look on that line, too, with his puck-hunting abilities? And Alex Iafallo, could you imagine that? That would be, like, almost an impossible line to play against.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, just a random off the top of my head thought there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just, to, yeah, if I could talk about the Dano Iafallo Kempe line for the whole day if I wanted to. I mean, just that's just how they've been playing. I mean, unfortunately – I wouldn't want to say all three of them, but they're not really the best finishers in the NHL. I shared today that they lead the league in expected goals, or I think it's either the Arvidsson, Kopitar line or the Dano line, one or two. But Yeah, they're still, Alex Iafallo is leading the NHL in Corsi right now. They're keeping pucks in the offensive zone, and that's, if they're not finishing, at least they're not, they're keeping pucks out of their own net. So
right,
there's that to like. So, but I mean, Alex Iafallo, I mean, what more can you say about him? Man, Todd McClellan mentioned him yesterday. He thinks he's a star, and it's not even close. And man, that contract is just going to look like a bargain.
Man, you ain't kidding.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Alex Tuch later on, obviously, with what's going on in Buffalo. But I always thought about his contract as being one of the most valuable in the NHL. I think he's a great player. He's only signed, I believe, at like $4.5 million for like 5 years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But, yeah, and now you look at what Alex Iafallo is doing. He's got 9 points in 10 games. He's leading the NHL in Corsi. And he's only signed for $4 million for the next 4 years. It's just, yeah, it's going to look like a ridiculous bargain if he can keep this pace up. And him and the combination with added with Deneau, man, that's a line that's going to stick. If Kempe does re-sign, that's a line that's going to be sticking with the Kings for, and going to be productive with the Kings for a long time, or the next few years.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt about it. There's no doubt. And, you know, it almost makes me think that, you know, that might be the type of line that Gabe Vilardi would need to be on too. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if he could just learn to shoot the puck more, like shoot the puck game, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about being that, you know, obsessive forechecker guy. But, anyways, getting sidetracked again. You mentioned something just now that I do want to talk about, because there was huge, huge news today. It's over, guys. It is over. The Jack Eichel saga has finally come to a close. He goes to the Vegas Golden Knights. They're the winner of the Eichel sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, right?
Right.
So the Knights get Eichel and a third-round pick in 2023 from the Sabres. In return, the Sabres get Alex Tuch, Peyton Krebs, protected 2022 first-round pick, and a, what is it, 23 second-round pick. If that 2022 first-round pick is a top-10 pick, the Sabres will get the Knights' 2023 first-round mm-hmm. pick. And there's other conditions attached. I can't remember them all off the top of my head. I think you need a lawyer to sort through all that. Anyways, your impressions of the trade. I know you wanted Jack Eichel in LA in the worst way.
Yeah.
What do you think about this one?
I did. I mean, it's just, he's a great player. And we all talk about, unfortunately, he's got a little bit of an injury, or he's got that big injury going on right now with the surgery, whether he can get it or not. Seems like Vegas is letting him get that surgery, but he's going to be out for 4 months. So he's pretty much not going to be playing hockey this year. But with all that being said, he's still, in my opinion, I think he's a top 10, maybe top 5 center in the NHL. So Vegas is obviously getting a great player, a number one center that they really desperately need. I mean, you mentioned that they can't be going into the Stanley Cup final with William Karlsson or Chandler Stephenson as their number one center. So Jack Eichel really fits that mold. The question that I have, I don't see a, it seems like Vegas is almost kind of forfeiting 10 years of being a really good hockey team for 3 years of being a great hockey team. That's kind of how I see it. You just look at the salary cap right now. Oof, it's the Alex Tuch isn't the only player leaving. There's more players leaving. I mean,
no, because next year they have $79 million tied up in 16 guys.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, you talk about cap crunch hell. I mean, that's where Vegas is looking into. I mean, I'm sure they're calling the Tampa Bay Lightning to see how they can make it all happen. But I mean, right now, it's just, it looks good. Obviously, with Jack Eichel and LTIR, they're not really got to pay him. Mark Stone's on LTIR. I think Max Pacioretty is also on LTIR, or if not on IR. So, I mean, yeah, they can make it happen right now. But yeah, there's going to have to be some more players being shipped out. So, from a Kings perspective, Vegas is going to be a threat for the next two to three years. They're going to be a legit Stanley Cup contender. I mean, we have to wait to see how Jack Eichel comes back from his injury, obviously. But let's just say he does come back 100% to the player that he is. I mean, you talk about a line with Pacioretty, Jack Eichel, and Mark Stone. I mean, that's just a ridiculous line. Good thing for the Kings. It's the reason they brought up a player like Phil Deneau, who can defend players like that. So it's from a Buffalo's perspective. Yeah, we heard Kevin Weeks tweeted out the rumor that Matthew Tkachuk and Sean Monahan were rumored to be going to Buffalo in exchange from Calgary for Eichel. And when I saw that, I was like, man, that seems like, I mean, I wasn't the only one that thought that. Everyone on Twitter thought the same thing. Man, that just seems like a ridiculous bargain for like Buffalo. Why weren't they saying yes right then and there? But it turns out later on that that wasn't the case. That was totally false. Even Kevin Adams says, I don't even know where that came from. So
Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Land of happiness. So, but yeah, I think Buffalo did well here. I mean, I really like Alex Tuck, and I think with, like I mentioned, with the contract that he has, they're getting a bargain. They're getting a great player, and they're starting to build like a pretty good team. They're doing well right now with players not playing, like Casey Mittelstadt still not playing. I mean, their back line has still got some question marks, but I mean, Jeff Skinner's actually being productive. They're paying him $9 million. So he's got to be productive. So I think they're building a pretty good team, and I think they did well with this trade. So I think Buffalo actually did better than Vegas here, I will say. And Vegas, it'll be good for the next couple of years, but I think they're going to have some problems in the long run.
Yeah, I'm going to get to Vegas in just a second, but I have to agree with you that I think Buffalo did extremely well here. Mm-hmm. Simply for the fact that, if you recall, when all of this started, they said they wanted the equivalent of four first-round draft picks. Mm-hmm. Well, they got three.
Yeah.
Given everything that's going on and all the crap that they've been through lately, to get the equivalent of three first-round picks out of this is not bad at all. And not only that, it brings closure to that team. It gets this black cloud gone.
Yeah.
And you mentioned their young core. Now, you think about this for a second. They've got Rasmus Dahlin, right? They've got Dylan Cousins. Mm-hmm. Now they've got Alex Tuck, Peyton Krebs, Owen Power on the way, Ryan Johnson's on the way.
Yep.
For him, he's Brock Faber's partner up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay. Casey Mittelstadt, like you said, Jack Quinn's lighting it up in the AHL. JJ Paterka's doing pretty good there too. These guys are all under 25. Victor Olofsson's 26.
And a bunch of first round picks.
Three coming up in 2022, or maybe split it up two and two.
In good, there's some good drafts coming up. Yeah, these next two drafts are really good.
Okay, so even if they don't get this Vegas first round pick, oh, geez, so they go to the Connor Bernard suitcase instead.
Yeah, exactly. The next Connor McDavid, yeah.
Geez, so, boy, did they lose out or what? but speaking of that pick, the very fact that that's a top 10 protected pick tells me that Vegas doesn't think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I said.
That was the first thing I thought of when I saw that. I'm like, wow, they might be just folding the 10 already. Mm-hmm. They really might be. And I'll tell you something, too. I don't think that they're going to be as dominant as a team as people think they are. And I'll tell you why. Look what happens when they get injuries, especially in that top six.
Yep.
They're finished. They're done. They got no depth at all.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? I think letting Marc-Andre Fleury go was a horrible mistake on their part too, because Robin Leonard is a good goaltender. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't think he's a number one guy that's going to carry the load for 60 to 65 games. I don't see it. I'm sorry. He's great in a tandem. But as far as being the guy that you're going to hitch the wagon to and take you to the promised land, I don't know. I really don't. They don't have any to back him up. I mean, who they got? Warren Brisson?
I think that's their backup right now, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they have no more cap room to even try to improve that end of it. So, yeah, and here's the thing, too. Is Jack Eichel really going to be the same player when he comes back? Nobody knows this.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is all the experimental surgery. And you know what? Good for him. He's finally going to be able to get the surgery that he wants. Great. Good for him. But if everybody thinks that he's going to come back in 3 months and be a dominant top five center right off the hop, forget about it. Because I was telling a friend of mine this earlier today. I mean, he was like, oh, Vegas won that trade hands down. Jack Eichel's going to come back. They're probably going to win the cup. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Settle down. Slow down for a second. Right. All right? And I'll tell you why. Think about it when guys hold out during training camp. You look at the William Nylanders of the world, right? Elias Pettersson, those types, right? How long does it take them to get caught up when they finally do come back? It takes them a good month or two, right? Mm-hmm. By the time this is all said and done for Jack Eichel, he's going to be out of the game for close to 2 years.
Yeah, I didn't
you don't just
catch
up right off the hop from that. That's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this trade may not even give Vegas the return they thought they were going to get next year.
Yeah, I just – obviously, I'm sure Kelly McCrimmon's going to really just ease Jack back into playing hockey. I mean, I would have to
figure –
yeah, they made this deal thinking that he's just not going to be playing for the Golden Knights this year. And like you said, when I was thinking the same thing when I saw this deal go down, I mean, is Vegas just folding this year? Are they just going to tank and just see what happens? I mean, but with their cap and the players that they have signed right now, that's unfortunately, they can't do that. I mean, they have to go for it. I mean, they even brought back Matias Janmark, who a player that no one expected to come back, and Alec Martinez, who are getting up there. And then you have Alex Pietrangelo, who's supposed to be their number one defenseman, who's actually having a really down year. So they've got a lot of problems. And like you mentioned, if a player goes down with injury, like let's say like a Stone or a Pacioretty, like is going on this year and in the next few years, they're going to be a lot of world to hurt. And they're going to be a real top-heavy team. Does that win you Stanley Cups? I mean, it can if you stay fully healthy. If those players can produce, I mean, and be the type of players they are, then, yeah, they can win Stanley Cups. But like you mentioned, they have to have a lot of luck go toward their side. And if any team would take a quote-unquote gamble on a player like Jack Eichel, it would be the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, imagine that coming out of Vegas, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems like they just will – they're just shooting for the stars and going for it every chance they get. And they're really just kind of sacrificing those first round picks. You want to come to, hey, welcome to Las Vegas, your first round pick. And by the way, we're trading you off for the next superstar.
Don't get comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But here's a ticket. You can come back and visit in the off season. It's
yeah. Why not? Yeah. Spend your money here.
But you know, you just mentioned like guys like Max Pacioretty and, you know, even like Jonathan Marchessault. And even Mark Stone, no, don't forget, if this really does take 2 years for Eichel to get up to where they think he's going to be, those guys are going to be 2 years older as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's, you know, I mean, there's just, I don't know. I mean, you know, yeah, if you're Vegas, you had to go try to get a number one center because that's what they were lacking. But I don't know if this is going to be the way to go for them. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, from talking about it from a Kings fan's perspective, for the next couple of years, I mean, I think about it. Okay, Vegas is Jack Eichel, totally fine. Quentin Byfield's coming up. Mm-hmm. Grant Clark's probably going to make an impact. Yeah, Vegas is going to be really good, but you're talking about the same time that the Kings are going to be a really good team. And I just wish I had a DeLorean because, I mean, with the way that the Kings are playing right now, I can't wait to see what Quentin Byfield and Grant Clark are going to be doing in the lineup come next couple of years. I mean, oof, man, I mentioned it a couple games ago when you have players like Arthur Kaliev, Rasmus Kupari, Martin Kromiak, who's just killing it in the OHL right now.
Yes.
And then you have Samuel Fagamo, who's scoring in the AHL. Man, the power play is just going to be wicked for the Kings for the next few years. And Brant Clark is the QB on those power plays. And Drew Doughty's probably still playing up to his level. So, I mean, yeah, the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be really good for the next couple of years. But we all expect that the Kings are going to be that good as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what the difference is? The Kings are going to be like 8 years younger.
Yeah, exactly. on entry-level deals.
I know. like I said, good luck, Vegas. But, boy, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I do know what's going to happen is that the Kings have a game. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll be tonight. Mm-hmm. The New Jersey Devils come to town. Yep. Our familiar foe from the 2012 Stanley Cup Final. They're going to be having a new player in tow, that being in the form of Alexander Holtz, the number 7 overall pick in the 2020 draft for the Devils. I can tell you that, you know, I live 25 minutes from Utica, and I have season tickets for the Comets. So, because, of course, they're the hometown team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got to see this kid play live, and you know who he reminds me of? Arthur Kaliev with that shot. It's the same type of thing. He might be a little bit faster than Kaliev, actually, but it's the same idea. Can fire the puck from anywhere and be deadly with it. So that's going to be a very interesting game to watch. What's your thoughts going into this game?
Yeah, I mean, if the Kings are riding a hot streak, it'll be interesting to see where AA slots in the lineup. I think that with Anderson possibly being out with injury, it seems like today they practice with Kaliev on the first line. So AA is probably going to slot in on the fourth line. Just kind of probably ease him into the lineup. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch the debut of Alexander Holtz. I mean, I knew about, I talked to Tony Ferrari about this kid a couple years ago, and he's just like, he mentioned his shot as well. And that's kind of what I thought, that they would actually take William Eklund in this draft. I know they drafted Luke Hughes because they had Hughes' brother, but William Eklund was Alexander Holtz's teammate in the Swedish Hockey League. So they had some really good chemistry together, and we've seen what William Eklund's done with San Jose. But to go back to New Jersey, Yeah, unfortunately, they don't have Jack Hughes, and he lost to that injury. But, I mean, they're still a really good team. Is Dougie Hamilton going to be playing? I thought I saw that he got hurt today.
I don't know. He didn't practice. So,
I mean, for the Kings right now, you have to look at this as an opportunity, and I would expect them to be favored to win when looking at it from a betting standpoint. So This is a game that I look at the Kings right now and the way that they're lined up. I mean, we can talk about how the bottom six has actually been performing pretty well. I mean, Rasmus Tavares had good games, and Arthur Kaliev scoring goals, and Lizotte's drawing penalties, Lemieux, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I still think of them as a two-line team right now. I mean, they'll get that bottom six going eventually, but they're still a two-line team. So the Kings are going to be a really, really good home team. When you have that last change and you can trot out a player like Phil Deneau against players like Tarasenko that we saw last night, or against like a Dvorak that we saw on Saturday, and all the good players against Buffalo, when you have that final change, those are some matchups that Todd McClellan, that's what they want. So that's kind of why you saw the road trip kind of skitter a little bit. Obviously, they lost Drew Doughty and Sean Walker. That's going to impact the game as well. But coaches were able to trot out their best players against players like Kupari, Lazat, Kaliev, Grundstrom. So for a team like the Kings, these home games, they have to win these home games. These are games that they need to win, especially with going against a team like New Jersey that is going to be without its top players. So
sure,
I would expect the Kings to win this game and continue their win streak, which would be great.
Yeah, it would be. And actually, they might get Mackenzie Blackwood in his first start of the season, because they were carrying three goaltenders when they went out on the trip. They had Blackwood, old friend Jonathan Bernier, and Scott Wedgwood, another former King. Well, they put Wedgwood on waivers Wednesday, and he did not make it through. Arizona claimed him. So Bernier's been the man, but I have a feeling we might see Mr. Blackwood tomorrow night. Well, tonight, whatever it is, it's going to be coming out here. So I get mixed up with that sometimes. I really do.
Who gets to stop doing these late-night pods? These little
don't get old, Russ. It's terrible.
Yeah, but all in all, I just want the Kings to play the type of hockey that they showed in the final period. Why can't they just do that for the entire game? So special teams is still kind of a problem. We'll see how they kind of, if they can shore that up, but just play that full complete hockey throughout the entire game. That's all they're a good enough team that they can do that. So Rasmus Kupari has been playing really good. I think he was leading the team in expected goals through the first 40 minutes. Like, was kind of pining for him to get more ice time. And then the Kings eventually took the lead. So I was like, okay, well, now we need to kind of trot out the top six lines. But I mean, we still are losing Arvidsson. Arvidsson is still not back. We'll see if he's able to make the jump back into the lineup. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch the debut of AA and see how he's able to make an impact on the bottom six. Maybe he brings a little bit more of that scoring output to some players that much need it.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of jump, a little bit of forecheck.
Yeah.
You know, I think for the most part, the best thing that we can really hope for the next couple months is that they can hang around until, say, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
100%.
Expect them to be in the playoffs, so I'll just hang in there. Just be around. Because then the reinforcements will be coming, right? Mm-hmm. Doughty will be coming back. Quentin Byfield, we're going to finally get to see him. And obviously, we already talked about it. You got to expect Turcotte at some point, too. So if they can just stay in the hunt, I got a feeling the second half of the season is going to be a fun one. So,
yeah, I mean, we've talked about it multiple times already, but yeah, with the way that those top two lines are playing right now, this is turning out to be a really good team. You're starting to see those building blocks being made. Like, the second line solidified. That's a line that are players that are signed. I mean, Kempe's he's an RFA at the end of this year, but presumably he'll be re-signed for a couple more years. So that's a trio that will be together for a couple more years to come. We'll see what happens with Brown if he comes back. I mean, Kopitar and Arvidsson are still got a couple more years, so there's another line. But like you mentioned, the Kings just need to tread water at this point until Doughty comes back, until Byfield can make an impact on the third line, and then maybe you slot Kupari to the wing. I think, was it you that mentioned maybe once Byfield comes back, you put Byfield with Kupari and Kaliev together?
Yeah, could you imagine that?
Dude, I mean, that's a wicked third line. And with the way Byfield was playing, if he can come back, and I'm sure he will. I don't expect an ankle fracture. That's not really like a muscle injury where you need to rehab a lot. I mean, obviously, he'll probably maybe get some games in Ontario. But I fully expect him to make an impact and be the type of player that we saw towards the preseason, and the player that we saw in that game where he got hurt, where he was pretty much the best player on the ice. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It'll be the Kings just need to stay afloat and just be almost just be a 500 team, win their home games, win the games that they're supposed to win, and maybe steal some games here and there. And it gets in. And now that the way Jonathan Quick's playing, he can be possibly steal some games. It almost kind of felt like he maybe stole that game last night.
I think so.
Yeah. But, yeah. And then maybe get some good, get the play from Cal Peterson that we all expect. So, yeah, just tread water for now.
By the way, I just wanted to mention too, did you notice Kopi when they had him mic'd up in the pregame? You could almost tell you started to get irritated. He's like, guys, I just want to warm up. And they just kept asking him questions. Like, yeah, obviously. And then he just skates off.
I got to go.
Yeah, it's like, okay, where is this? I'm going to rip this thing out of here. Well, that was, but anyways, that's about it, guys. I think, like I said, tread water. Let's get that W tomorrow night, because tomorrow or tonight, whatever. It's a winnable game. It really is. Mm-hmm. And nothing against New Jersey, but I think the Kings and the Devils are pretty much on the same level right now.
Yeah.
And you're the home team. You got to get that game. So
exactly.
So we will see what happens. But I'll tell you what, man, let's not go so long between pods next time.
Yeah exactly.
We have so much to talk about, and we get it all pent up. And then you know what always ends up happening? I'll think of something like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll wake up and go, oh, I wanted to talk about that on the pod, and I forgot.
I love waking up to those Scott late night texts.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah, by the way. and we got to schedule so we can get Ryan back in here, too.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
All right, man. Well, that was a lot of fun. And everybody, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And we will see you next time on the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Go Kings, go.
Go Kings.